The South Dakota Symphony Orchestra has been recognized nationally for its innovation and community engagement. Now a new initiative aims to build a more inclusive community, weaving in the many cultures that make up South Dakota. Maestro Delta David Geyer joins us in the studio now for a look at the Bridging Cultures program. Welcome back, Maestro Geyer. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Also with us, we have composers that are participating. Give us a little context of the program, and then we'll introduce our composers.
Okay. So Bridging Cultures is basically an outgrowth of our Lakota Music Project. As most of your listeners already know, the Lakota Music Project was developed to address racial prejudice in South Dakota and to create a bridge between cultures for understanding. And we've engaged with other groups within Sioux Falls and around the region, a bit with the Sudanese Somali refugees, the Chinese Association, with the Arab community, also Hispanic. So we decided it was about time that we put this underneath an umbrella, which we're calling Bridging Cultures. And while each of these initiatives over the last 10 years or so have been engagements, you know, with one program for one culture, this one is different in that we're representing three cultures on one program. We have South Asian, we have Filipino, and we have Central American all on the same program.
All right, let's meet some of the composers who are with us today. Rena Esmail, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here.
And Nilo Alcala.
Hi, hello.
Is that close to a good pronunciation?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very cold.
And they have come to South Dakota at a time when it's a memorable story about the weather.
It's war stories.
Yes. Rena, tell me a little bit about how you sort of entered the world of composing and music. Give us a little bit of your background.
Yeah, so I'm Indian American, but when I kind of expressed interest in music, I was from Los Angeles, and my parents put me in, you know, Western music lessons. So I played guitar, violin, piano. And then as I grew up and decided to become a composer, primarily because I have terrible stage fright, so I like being behind the scenes instead of in front of it, I realized that I looked really different than most composers. You know, when you think of composers, you think of Mozart and Beethoven and people who don't look anything like me. And so I started realizing, you know, what is my identity as an Indian woman and what does that mean for the music I write? And I began to engage with Indian classical music, went to India, studied for a while. And so now my music is kind of a combination of Western orchestral classical music and then Indian classical music.
Did you find that was something that there had been a pathway that you could follow and there were others that you were introduced to who were mentors in that? Or were you really striking out on your own saying, what does this look like? Nobody's tried it in this way before.
Yeah, it's a good question because, I mean, certainly I owe a lot to musicians like Ravi Shankar who came to the U.S. and really popularized what it meant to be a Hindustani musician in the U.S. So certainly I was building on something that existed, but I don't think there's really been anyone who comes from a classical Western European training who then engages with Indian culture in the specific way I do. There are certainly people who engage in other ways.
Yeah. Maestro Geyer, one of the things she said there was, you know, she doesn't necessarily look like other people's ideas of composers. Some people think of composers as all being dead in the first place. So the fact that you're living and that you're creating new work. So this is about bringing in new, fresh composers as well as new musical ideas.
Yeah, well, we've been breaking that mold for the last 15 years. I mean, we've done so much contemporary music. And, you know, a lot of them have been people of color, you know, a bunch of white guys too, but, you know, that's not a bad thing.
Nilo, tell us a little bit about your background and how you entered this world.
Okay, I'm originally from the Philippines, born and raised there. I went into music later in life. I had a different bachelor's degree, and I got involved in choirs then. So I after graduating, I worked for like a couple of years and I felt, oh, I think I want to do music. So I went back to school. That's where I got my Western-ish education. But then afterwards, I got a scholarship through Billy Joel, you know, the piano man. I got plucked out from tropical Philippines into snowy upstate New York. And then, so I got the best of both worlds, Asian thinking, Filipino thinking, and then Western education And 2 years after New York, I moved to Los Angeles, and I've been there since like late 2009, and I became a citizen last year.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So tell us how you sort of blend the music of the place of your birth with all that education, with your voice and who you are now.
You know, I love that I get to have this palette of East and West with me, for me. And that works with Rena also. Mm-hmm. Philippines has 7,200 plus islands. And within those islands are different cultures within themselves. And I love that I got to interact with some of those cultures when I was in the Philippines, and it's amazing how I mixed what I had in the Philippines and you know the Western idiom of writing for choirs or for orchestra, and when you mix them together, it's like something it's me. I'm telling them it's me. The combination of my education, the combination of where I lived, it's the music is me. Yeah.
Mm. Tell us about the program, because it's coming up where people get to hear some of this music and participate in the Bridging Cultures program.
Well, so Dave Fleechek at Avera, who sits on our board, he's the one who's facilitated some amazing work that we've been able to do. A couple of years ago, we had a concert where we had an Iranian composer and a Syrian composer on the same program. And through some of the doctors at Avera, we were able to connect with the Muslim Community Center and have activities around that particular program. And we went in for a debrief after that, very successful weekend, expecting to talk about the next Arab engagement. And basically what they said to us was, we want to create a program that celebrates the diversity of our community in Avera. And we already know which communities we'd like to focus on. And this is that program from, you know, I don't know, a year and a half ago when this was dreamed up. And so, like I said, South Asian, we have both Indian and Pakistani composers, Rena being the Indian one. We have a Filipino set with two pieces of Nilo Alcala. And then we also have a Central American set with Guatemalan and Salvadoran composers. So again, representing the not just Avera, obviously, but our community of Sioux Falls, that these are significant parts of our population. And I guess, you know, Nilo, I guess you had a really nice meal last night with a bunch of Filipino doctors.
Very fun. Very fun.
I was going to ask that next, which was, when you're here, who do you get to connect with who has a similar background or who shares a cultural experience? Tell us a little bit about that.
So last night I had dinner with, I think, 7-8 doctors from the Avera. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was amazing to meet them and to know how long they have been here in Sioux Falls. And I was really surprised to find Filipinos here. I'm like, you know, sure, we're like from a tropical country. Why would they choose this place?
Well, in the work that, I mean, Addison Tolentino comes to mind. I don't know if he was there, but I know he's of Philippine ancestry. And the work that he has done in the oncology community in this community, the impact that he has had through his healing and treating patients is profound. Tell us a little bit about your connection with others while you're here.
Well, I'm really excited to connect with the South Asian community. I just got here last night, so all my connections are ahead of me. But to me, it's like, every time I go and work with orchestras, I mean, they're primarily Western ensembles, and there really aren't that many South Asians in orchestras and in Western music right now. So it's really exciting for me to go to different cities and be able to meet the South Asian community and actually be embraced and, you know, like I said, to have a meal with people who are from your own culture in a new city just feels very welcoming.
This is the performance is Friday, February 1st, 7:30 in Hamra Recital Hall at Augustana University. Mm-hmm. This is a chamber music performance. Is that?
I think four of the pieces are conducted. So there's a mixed ensemble that Nilo wrote, and there's some string orchestra pieces. But yes, then there's also wind quintet, and there's a solo piano piece, and so it's quite a mixed program.
All right, tell me what we'll be hearing that represents Rena's work.
My piece is called Teen Murthy, and that means like three idols or three statues, and so it's a little three movement string orchestra piece.
All right. And Nila, what will we hear from you?
Oh, one of my pieces is called Dayo Dayo Kupita, based on a children's chant, actually, from the southern Philippines. And it was originally a choral piece that I transcribed for strings. And
Yeah, this is an orchestra that had, talk about working with the orchestra itself, because this is not new to them. This is something that I'm guessing they slip very easily into.
Well, they don't have much to say yet because our first rehearsal's tonight.
They haven't even rehearsed yet.
And we got people coming in from Minneapolis and Kansas City, so you know, fingers crossed, we may not even have a full orchestra tonight.
Are you going to wrap the instruments with blankets between the car and the...
This is not my issue.
Get you and your instrument into the building, and we will rehearse. What is it like for you, Delta David Geyer, to sort of see... you know, being with the Lakota Music Project from the beginning, and we should talk about Theodore Whipred too, and his curation at this point. What do you want to say about his residency?
Well, Ted Whipred is has been our composer in residence for the last year, and what does that mean? Well, you know, we've done his music, but he ran our Lakota and Dakota Composition Academies for high schoolers, both in Sisseton and on Pine Ridge. And we played those kids' music and everything. So Ted did all of the teaching and all putting that together. He's served as a composer advocate for different compositions that we've done throughout this season. We will have our second world premiere of a piece of Ted Whipred's next month. So he's writing music for us as well. And then this particular program, he really took ownership of in terms of doing the research for these three different communities that are represented, making contact with the composers. He's absolutely integral. And actually, you know, God willing, he'll arrive this evening and be part of this as well. So.
One of the things that I find so intriguing about some of these programs are just the people who are listening that you might not know ever that you had influence on. And it might be students who are from different parts of the world or just a kid from South Dakota who doesn't think that composers come from South Dakota and might be part of that conversation. What, Neil, you said you sort of, you know, came to music a little bit later. What was that spark for you? Where did that sort of come from where you finally thought, oh, this is possible for me?
You know, interestingly, there was a choir from Manila, and I'm from the southern part of Luzon, and I heard them sing a French madrigal, and I thought it was gibberish, and I thought, wow, I could write something like that. It would mean nothing, but it would sound interesting. And that was a spark first for me. So, but then years after that, I joined that choir and I realized, oh, that was French. But then I started writing for music for that choir.
Did you have to overcome doubts, Arena? Was there, you know, because it's we're making it sound like it's a natural progression that the door opens and you sort of walk in and then you've arrived. But being a composer in America cannot be an easy thing in the first place, and then being a composer with so few colleagues who have similar expressions to yours adds another layer. Tell us about some of the challenges.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many challenges, actually, maybe even from the outside. You know, I spent a year in India, and being in a situation where I looked like everyone else, you see how someone looks at you and expects you to succeed. Like, oh, you look like this. You should be able to do this kind of music. And then actually coming back to America, I had some of the worst reverse culture shock because I then realized how I wasn't expected to be able to do what, for instance, a white man could do. And so kind of dealing with that, maybe reverse racism has been a little challenging. But at the same time, because I don't look like other people, people don't necessarily have expectations for the kind of music that I'll write. So I can feel free to be myself because I don't have a choice.
This is the Bridging Cultures program. It's Friday, February 1st at 7:30. It will be much warmer than for audience members to come out.
I don't know whether to trust it, but that's what they say.
The orchestra will be in rehearsals. And what's next for this program, David?
For Bridging Cultures?
Yeah.
We will probably see, it's unformed a little bit, but I think on the same program at the end of March where we're premiering Ted Whipred's piece, I think we're going to have a representation of at least one of the pieces that was written by the students from either Pine Ridge or Sisseton. So there'll a chance for a wider audience to get a taste of that. I should mention that next month is actually quite a busy month for Lakota Music Project, in the sense that on the 7th, March 7th, Thursday evening, we will have a performance of all of the Academy pieces that have been written this year. So all of the ones from Pine Ridge, all of the ones from Sisseton. Plus we have, I believe, 5 of our own youth orchestra students that are composing pieces. This is for either string quartet or woodwind quintet. So we'll, and these pieces are short. They're, you know, between 2.5 and 4 minutes each. But a program of all of them for the entire year. And then on the 9th and 10th, we'll be premiering a new iteration of the Lakota Music Project, a brand new program, which focuses on heroes and leadership principles from both Lakota culture, Dakota culture, and our, call it what you will, white culture, totally different from the programs we've done in the past. But there will be, again, a chamber orchestra, but also Creekside Singers will be involved with this, and as well as a dancer and a young Lakota singer from Pine Ridge.
Well, we'll put some links up on our website to any work that we can connect with listeners after the show at listen.sdpb.org. Delta David Geyer, Rena Ismail, and Nilo Alcala, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lauren.